I give you the glory and give you the honor. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Let's pray that we'll be rooted in the knowledge of God. We'll be strengthened in our inner man, that each one of us, I want you to pray for yourself. Take this moment to just pray for yourself. You know, just ask the Lord to just get you to be rooted and strengthened. Be rooted and strengthened in the inside. That inside man, that inward man may be given more room to operate this year. That will not go by what we see physically, what we go by mentally. That will go deeper than our physical and mentality. That we will let our spirit take precedence in our life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that in my daily living, I will display more of your grace and more of your power. That I will live powerfully. I will live by your strength. That I will depend upon you. You can have your seat while you pray. You can just have your seat while you pray. Thank you, Father, Lord. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be your holy name. Can you ask the Lord to make your way smooth this year? Hey, Lord, just make my way smooth. Make my way smooth in the days ahead. Bible says if you just, attend to mercy and grace, it will smoothen your way. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and not with understanding, said it will smoothen your way. It will smoothen your way. It will smoothen. It will make our, it will direct our path. It will smoothen our ways. Thank you, Father, for directing my path. Thank you, Father, for guiding me in the way I should go. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just finally ask for task, for the strength for the task that we have ahead of us? Strength for the task. I don't know what your task is. I don't know what you are doing. I don't know what you are up to. Let's ask the Lord for strength to just help us, to just strengthen us, that we'll be able to do our various tasks, major task in our lives, that we will face them and we will do them well. That the Lord will make his power available in our weaknesses. You know your weaknesses, say, Lord. He said, my power is made manifest in your weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Let's receive his great power in our weak points. You know our weak points. Let's say, Lord, I receive strength. I receive your power in my weak points. Thank you for making your power available in my weak points. Where that people will even look at me and don't see the weakness, they will see the power of God in display. Thank you, Father God. We bless you. We worship and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's do something. Let's pray for our own. The Bible says we should pray for all those who are in authority. I want us to pray for Brother Kendi. He just finished graduation yesterday. It's been very heavy. He's been off the last 2 weeks. Been busy for him. Came back Monday. And involve all this. Let's pray for our own. What are we going to pray? We're going to pray for strength for him to, we're trying to get back to graduation every year now. Before we go for 5, 6 years, 4 years. And I was not expecting him in church this morning. But can we just stretch forth our hands toward him and just pray the Lord will enable, strengthen, the Lord will grant him more grace to go ahead. It's almost going to 2 years almost run off. Let's say the Lord to just keep renewing his strength. Renew his strength. Renew wisdom on him that he will not just slow down and get sluggish, but get strengthened and speedy. Let's ask the Lord to enforce his strength in his inner man. Let's ask the Lord to press into him all that he wants him to do. That he will not lag, he will not lack. He will not lag and he will not lack. Let's ask the Lord to make that happen for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the surrounding team. Thank you for enabling them. Thank you for getting them going together. Blessed be your holy name. In the same way, let's lift our hands and pray for all those who are over anything in our church. Maybe you are the owner of your business, you are HOD or whatever, you are in authority. Let's just lift our hands and pray for all those people. Let's ask the Lord for wisdom and strength for them. Let's ask God to help them face things, handle things, sort things out, organize things, direct, hallelujah. Be reminded of essential things to do that the Lord will help. Whoever, in authority, in any form, any shape, Even our church leaders, let's ask the Lord to help them, different groups, that they will be able to accomplish and get things done by the strength of the Lord. Let's ask that they will not be weary, they will not be tired. They will keep going in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you take your neighbors and just pray in the spirit for the person? Just pray in the spirit. Bible says, either pray in a new tongue, does not speak to men but to God. Just pray in tongues. You know, you don't know the person. Just pray in the spirit. Just pray. Just pray for the person by the spirit. Just pray for the person by the spirit. Just pray for the person by the spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We magnify you. Thank you for covering the unknown things in our lives by the unknown tongues. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Everybody, you are welcome to church. Great to see you in church. Hallelujah. Please have your seat. Let's get into the word of God. We are welcome this morning. This is Church Awagba. Hallelujah. This first service is service for those who are 45 years and above. And it's been just marvelous to watch. The second service is for those who are married, that are younger, less than that. And the last service, third service, is for those youth and singles. It's amazing how we go through these services and take care of each segment of our membership. So this morning, I want us to do something that if I bring it up, some of you will wonder about it. Can you help us close that place up so that the noise won't be coming through? All right. How many of you have heard this before? Jesus is coming very soon. How many of you have heard it before? Somewhere in time past, Jesus is coming very soon. How many of you have not been hearing it in recent time? You've not been hearing it in recent time. When I was growing up, before 2000 AD, it was Jesus is coming very soon. Jesus in the early 80s and the late 80s, 90s, Jesus is coming very soon. It was like, in fact, you see, Jesus is coming, evangelical church. You know, now it's been reversed to, you shall make heaven evangelical church. You know, you hardly hear church talking about, you know, Jesus is coming. You hear more about, at last we'll make heaven. So it's like as if Jesus is coming very soon. And when I was growing up, it was kind of a thing that I used to kind of, Jesus is coming very soon. Where are you going to find you? Well, in fact, I remember a particular church. I was told years ago that they actually packed, they sold their properties in Lagos. They moved to a particular place waiting for the coming of Jesus. It was maybe some of us that have grown up like that will have remember those moments. And then you see people early in the morning doing agogo, you know. And then you grow up, you didn't see Jesus coming. You know, then a lot of these films about Antichrist, the beast, rapture. You hear people talk about rapture anymore now. And then I remember in the early 90s, I'm just trying to do something this morning. I want you to be with me. God, this is very important. And, in the early 90s, there was a young man who came to a fellowship where I was involved in. And that particular service day, I was not there. It was a young man who was just trying to start with the Lord. And he started talking about the welcoming of the Lord. And he came to the meeting. And, the way he talked about the coming of the Lord, everybody was roused up. Everybody. So he started pressing about the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. In the 90s, the Lord is coming. Then one time he just said, the Lord is coming. And then 6 months was over. The guy started begging for money. In fact, you'll be amazed that in 1988, one guy wrote a book in America before 1988, I think 1980 something. He wrote 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come 1988. Hello? So the book was a bestseller. It sold so well. Then 1988 came. Christ didn't come. Guess what happened? He wrote another book. I think 40 Reasons Why Christ Didn't Come 1988. He had defeated almost all our predictions and stuff like that. How many of you heard of Seventh-day Adventists? I know they don't want to talk about their past. You know, how many of you know Seventh-day Adventists? SDA. SDA started with in the 1870-something with a farmer who started plotting the graph from the Bible that Christ will come in 1860-something or 1870-something. So he plotted the graph. He was a farmer, and he claimed that Jesus will come around again, and that that particular day, Jesus will come from heaven to the earth. And do you know, that particular day came, Jesus usually defied all those predictions. I wonder why. And then they were so embarrassed, Seventh-day Adventists were so embarrassed that they were scattered. But then one woman came called Ellen G. White and refurbished them and make them to sound like as if that is not their past. That's why SDA today, you look at Babcock University, they don't want to talk like this, but that's the truth. So they start talking about dietary stuff, Sabbath days and stuff like that. Jesus Christ, they now said quietly that Jesus actually moved from the most holy place to the holy place in heaven. He has not come to the outer court yet. All right. Now, does that mean Jesus won't come back? Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's you know, as we, you know, yesterday something happened. My wife and I were in the kitchen, everywhere, and something happened. And I just started laughing very hard. We had somebody preaching, and the wife was the one preaching, and then the woman that was preaching said, "This is the last days." He said, "This is the last days. This is the last days. This is the last days." And while she was speaking, one person just got up in the church and said, "Excuse me, ma'am. It may not be the last days. We may have another 800, 1,000 years ahead of us." But the woman said, "You know what? It's your own last days. You will not be here 800 years to come." Yeah, so let's go to Acts chapter 1 and talk about this. And is it really relevant? Even as we get older, this is critical. Acts chapter 1. And what is the effect of Jesus coming? What will he do in our life? Is that so important? I know this is not this topic this morning is not, I know it's not a need-oriented meet my need kind of teaching, but let's look at our Bible. This is when Jesus left this planet. Let's look at chapter 1, the last word Jesus spoke. Look at it when he was talking with them, verse 4. "And being assembled together," this is Jesus, the last moment of his before he left this planet. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Let's go on. "For John truly baptized with water, but shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Let's go on. "And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority.'" Please, let's listen carefully here. This is important here. Christians are getting more involved in politics. Christians are looking for how to make the world better. So the early church, those early apostles asked Jesus, "Will you restore the kingdom? Will you give the glory of Israel back to it?" Many of us are waiting for new Nigeria. Will you ever get it? Does God have any plan for Nigeria? Will Nigeria ever change for the best? Will it become like US? They asked Jesus. But you know, Jesus answered when he said, "Will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" Look at verse 7. He said, but verse 7. Give us verse 7 quickly. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority." What God does with nations, we never know his plans. We never know what he will do. If Nigeria will stay together 20 years' time, we don't know. Somebody say, "How can you say that?" We don't know. We don't know. Who ever knew that Ukraine would be invaded by Russia? Who ever knew that Trump will come back? Let's stop it there. With that kind of landslide victory. Who ever knows? So some things, you know, sometimes God will tell me, "So look here, when it comes to the nations of the world, I'm not a Christian. I'm Jehovah God. I'm not plotting graph according to what you think. Praise God." You know, so that is signs or seasons are in his hand. But look at next verse. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the end of the earth." So he's saying, look here, my major plan for you is to be my witnesses. Now that does not just mean to preach. It means to be, when he say witness means that, what is the proof of Jesus? We look at our lives. But now, that's the last word he said before he left here. What happened next? Look at next verse. "And Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, this is amazing, he was taken up. I mean, just imagine 11 men were watching Jesus. And when he said, you are going to the ends of the earth, and his feet move off the ground. I mean, like they've seen you in our parlance, kuru kuru eyes, you're just watching. This is not film. And while they watch, he was taken up, and the cloud, it kept on going. I mean, just imagine, you stand over there, you are watching, and you see the master rising. We spent 3.5 years together. He's been there in and out person. And got to the ceiling, they kept looking. And he got out there, and you just keep looking. I mean, this is interesting. That never happened in the human race. A different person just going up. And what we said, cloud received him out of their sight. Look at next verse. And why they see, I don't know about you. If you ever been there, somebody's been around you when they are traveling or something like that, you just hang around. You just want to. And why they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. I mean, they didn't want to break that moment. Behold, two men stood up by them in white apparel. They were 11. Two people joined them, making 13. And they were white clothes. Look at what he said. Next verse. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Now, this is what defies science and everything else. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the angel said this, that Jesus that you saw going like that, that one day, again in human history, he will break through the sky and come down just the same way. Everybody had been plotting graph, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus, the angel said he's coming back. Himself said he's coming back. So this planet is waiting for that epic, final, divine visitation. That Jesus will come back again. But it has been traumatic for the church. It's been traumatic for the church. This coming of Jesus, people are expecting them. They are looking. My mother will say this. Take just about far. People are saying. That's what she always say. My mother always says that. You know, maybe she said, you know, something. But five people are saying, Timbaku. You know, my mother always put that Jesus coming kind of a thing. She's been saying it for years. Those who are older. And in our own generation, people get discouraged now. When you look at the world around you, when you see all the mess, you know, things that could have been valuable before, no longer valuable. You know, so you wonder, what's this world becoming? But the early church was not thinking about the world becoming a better place. They were thinking of God coming back. Sort of this planet. Now, let's spend some time to look at this quite well. Because, you know, I don't want to get to this frenzy. Jesus is coming, 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 Jesus is coming. Stop doing everything if you're doing. And then you get disappointed. Or on this other side, Jesus is not coming, Joe. Let's do something with our lives. So can we look at a balanced view of it? Pastor David started reading something this morning which was peeping into what I want to talk about. He read 2 Peter 3. Let's go down there. He prayed toward the end, but actually from the beginning of that chapter, the Bible spoke for some time about what we are talking about today. 2 Peter 3, look at verse 1. Hallelujah. This is Peter. Remember Peter? Everybody remember Peter? Peter was there when Jesus was going up. He was the first apostle. And then Peter was writing his last word. This is 2 Peter. This is the last letter. In fact, he said, beloved, and I now write to. In fact, can we just go to 2 Peter chapter 1 first? I want you to see something before we read this one. 2 Peter, forgive me. Let me find it. I didn't plan for it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Okay. I want you to look at this. This is Peter talking, you know, he's an old man now. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and I establish in the present truth. Let's go on. Now, for yes, I think it is right as long as I'm in this tent, he called his body tent, his physical body, to steer you up by reminding you. Let's go on. Knowing that shortly, now he knew he would die before Jesus will come. He just knew. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. That means this body will be released. just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Let's keep on reading. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Wow. So Peter knew that he's going to leave. And he said, I want to thank God he gave us this thing called epistle so that I can remind us. We that are on this earth, still living. And we're getting older, just like him. Let's jump to chapter 2 now, verse 1. Okay, sorry, go back. Moreover, I'll be careful to, next verse. Now, please listen to this. Can you follow this? I want to plead with you. Science has done so much. The world depressed. They've banged on Christianity like nothing else. Christianity in the Western world has become a sorry sight. But Paul said, or Peter said, we do not follow cunningly devised fables. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not like Muhammad. Muhammad was the only one who was taken to the Mount Hijra and then write the Quran. Nobody saw it. He said he saw the angel Jibril. He wrote it down, 23 years Quran. But in the case of Jesus, it was not just kulu in one hill. Jesus appointed these men. They were around him. They saw his glory. They saw his power. I mean, Peter won't say, am I saying right? John will say, I'm saying the same thing. Judas will say, I'm saying the same thing. Thomas will say the same thing. And the crowds were there. So Jesus said, look, we're not fooling you. It's not calling it devised fables to make money. Look at next verse. For we were with him. For he received Jesus, when they were with him, he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So this is true. This is not a kind of imagination. No, nobody will question it. It's that Jesus existed. It was all over Roman history and power. Pontius Pilate, they find his graveyard. They find all these men. They saw the Sea of Galilee. They saw Capernaum. So he was not fooling us. We're not just deceiving ourselves. If it is, I will not be here. I'm honest with myself. I will not be here. I will be somewhere drinking beer, having wife in every state in Nigeria. Plus capital territory. Make it 37. This is true. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Next verse. And we add this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Next verse. So we have the prophetic word confirmed. This book is not a deception. It's not somebody who just drank some wine and put something down like Obatala. You know, Yoruba mythology, Obatala will drink wine. When he drinks seriously, he will make ugly people. When he doesn't drink too much, he will make, you know. That's their Yoruba mythology. So if you are ugly, Obatala was drunk. If you are beautiful, he was seen. But that's not us. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise God. God is good. So this is it. Now, chapter 2 now. Let's go to verse 1. So Peter began to write. Chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. I don't want to go through this one. Can you make it a little bigger? Chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder. You know, one of the things that Christians should do is to read the Bible. You actually have two minds. You have the mind that is for God, that is pure on that side. Then we have the other mind that lives in this world. Like we cook, we go out, we estimate, we change things, we don't get things quite correct in that mind. But there's also a pure part of our mind which needs to be reminded. You see, when Christians don't read the Bible, they don't have that other pure side of the mind reminded. And when it's not reminded, they behave badly in marriage. They behave badly in their career. They behave badly with their friends because that pure mind is not being stirred up. Let me tell you, everybody here, if that pure mind is not stirred up, you behave badly. It's like saying that if you remove all the police in the states, there's going to be criminality upsurge. All of us over here, we have tendencies to be wrong, but there's also a good tendency with us. So if you have this reminder within us, you know, every week when I read, husband, love your wife, that reminds me to love my wife. She's just more than a woman from Ijebu that looks for money. You are getting what I'm saying? Let's look at next verse. Look at it. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet. and of the commandment of us, the apostles. So in the mind of the early church, they saw two things. They saw the prophet of the Old Testament and they saw the apostles of the New Testament. That these two are our companions to show us the way. Let's keep reading. Let's go on. Knowing this, oh wow, can you look up? Knowing this first, he said, don't forget, reminding you, that scoffers will come in the last days, scoffers, walking according to their own desires and their lust. What's their subject of discussion? These scoffers. Next verse. For, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They came, die. They came and die. They came and die. They came and die. All the great men of God that spoke that Christ is coming, they've come and gone. So, scoffers will get up and say, this is nonsensical. Jesus is not coming anywhere. Forget it. The world is going to go on like the way it's been going on. Remember? Amanatete, wow. You know, you remember those days? Was it late 80s or early 90s? Is it Fire? What's the man's name now? Firewa? Yes. You know, Amanatete, wow, Amanatete, bo, Ayen Darulo. If Ayen was Darwin then, what is Darwin now? I mean, he would put the song on repeat. Ayen Daru, Amanakuti, they show up. You see, so we have to have a healthy way of looking at this. After this continue as they were. I've seen men of God saying loud, Jesus will come in my own lifetime. They supposed that. And they have been buried. Remember Jesus Oyebo? Remember those days? You know, those are supposed, as if the past has gone. Google is not true. There's a past. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. For this they willfully forget. They had to forget this by deliberate means, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Remember in the beginning, the earth was formless and void, darkness upon the face of the water, and the Spirit of God was moving, and God spoke, and that word brought forth the world we are living in now. Let's go on, next verse. By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Remember Noah's flood? Remember Noah's flood? God said, I'm going to finish this planet. They didn't listen. And then the water came and what? Swept everything away except Noah and his family. Let's keep reading. But the heavens, now let's start listening to Peter, beginning to unravel and explain the coming of the Lord. What does he mean? He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by that same word. You know, after God flooded the earth, he said he will no longer bring water again to destroy the earth. But listen now. And you see, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So Peter was saying that now this water no longer now, but that's fire. God's going to use fire to destroy the solar system, the planetary system. He's going to wipe it off. That sounds weird, but that's the truth. He said, and the reason why is because there's going to come a day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You see, we have lost the coming of Christ. That's why morality has really gone down. That's why Christians are doing whatever they think they can just do, because we never think there's going to be an exam. Just go to school. Say, children, there's no exam. Just come to school. Certificate will be given to you. Nobody will read. Nobody will come to classes. See, in the world today, even the church has forgotten there's going to be an exam day. Christ is not coming back to save us. We're already saved. He's coming back to judge the earth. In fact, can we put our hands there? Let's go to chapter 17, book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Acts 17. So when you are in the office, when you are, whatever you are doing, don't forget this. Acts 17. This is what Paul preached. All the apostles agree on this. This is what they preach. Look at verse 30. Acts 17, 30. We'll come back to 2 Peter. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. Can you see that? But now commands all men everywhere to what? To repent. Now, look at next verse. Why should they repent? Because he has appointed a day. That's a day coming. The day shall come. Remember that he tell us. The day he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. So the judge, not Supreme Court, where you can manipulate figures. There's a new court, there's a highest court where all men will stand. And he has ordained the judge. And he has given us assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So Jesus' resurrection from the dead is a sure stamp of approval that the day of judgment is coming. Hallelujah. So we are not just left to ourselves to do anything we like. If there's any reason why our country has gone this berserk, that's no longer accountability. I mean, it's amazing. There are no more supervisors. I'm sorry to tell you, even supervisors now, they want money. They just come around and said, this one is not good. Pay us. It's so bad today. You go to school to approve secondary school, primary school, they say, it's not good. When you bring money, it's okay. So today, that's why the Western world will always send us. Because we don't have eyes to supervise things and demand the best. We just want cash, Kamala. But that one that is coming, it cannot be moved by cash. It cannot be moved by anything. If anything about the coming of Christ that has been lost is this sense of accountability. In fact, Paul was with a king or a governor. And they were discussing about judgment to come. He was afraid. Let's go and see it. Acts 27. You know, I hope I can find it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's verse. Let's go. Acts 24, verse 24. Take a look at this. This is the governor. Governor Felix. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and had him concerning the faith in Christ. Come and see what this apostle was discussing with this governor. Today, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that. We go to governor's office to just come and entertain and say that we are praying for you. Hallelujah. Look at what he discussed with the governor. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, wow. I mean, can you imagine you are invited to government house and you sit down and government secular vessel and you just start talking about righteousness, standing with God, and talking about self-control, not just letting your appetite and your desire and your lust overtake your life, and that there's going to be a day of judgment if you straighten up your life and walk with God. The governor will say, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Let's go on. Meanwhile, see, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul. I don't think Paul was a poor man. He had the, for governor to be looking for bribe from his okay. Paul had money, man. Paul had money. Because, I mean, I don't think that Dr. Abiodun would be looking for money from me. That he might listen. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. And by that way, he was hearing the gospel. Praise God. Can you imagine righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come? We don't hear things like that anymore. What we hear is, let's not go for that. Let's go back to 2 Peter 2, where we are dealing with 2 Peter 3. Am I correct? 2 Peter 3. Okay, let's. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. The Lord says something about the perdition of ungodly men, of judgment. You know, that I'm telling you, this has so much affected me that even when I'm dealing with my children, I know one day I will stand in judgment. Just because I'm bigger and I have more experience and I give back to them doesn't make me the final authority at the end of the day. Just because I'm married and I'm the head of my wife, I'm going to be responsible to Christ, who is the head of over all. Just because I have these people working for me, I can't just push them around any way I think, because there's a master for both of us in heaven. I hope I'm making some sense. This is no longer the tenable stuff today. It's no longer the regular discussion today. But we cannot deny the fact. Let's read a little bit some more. Where do we stop? Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire on the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let's keep reading. Next verse. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. Now, he's talking about reminding us that with the law, one day is as a what? A 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as what? Amazingly. I guess that's where the confusion is. When the Lord said, I'm coming very soon. So we think soon means 3 years' time or 20 years' time. But to him, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That means Jesus died 2 days ago. Right? If 1,000 years is one day, then Jesus died 2 days ago. Say, you know, I mean, that's confusing. You know, the reason why we think that 1,000 years is very long is because actually we live about 100 years here. If it was Adam that lived about 930 years, it's just like... So 1,000, I mean, the Lord is thinking like this. What you are thinking... So if Jesus said he's coming now, he can come tomorrow or he can come 2,300 AD. So the next 1,000 years added to our time, what's that? 3,025. That's just one more extra day. Now, Pastor, you know, let me tell you my problem. Can I tell you my problem? You know, if you are thinking like that, so how do I live now? How many of you went to boarding house when you were in school? You went to boarding house. You know, there's something about they do in boarding house inspection. They come and check our room. And they will never tell us where they are coming. Prof, you are in that kind of school now. You know, Mayflower is the epicenter of all the troubles that you make your own food, if I remember. Or you are not your own set. Okay, all right. My principal was using Mayflower as the standard. Nearly killed all of us. But when it was transferred, we were all happy. That we are not going to be growing cassava, that we are going to eat ourselves. You know? So, I remember when I spent only one time in boarding house and I left. I just couldn't stand it. Because you never know when they will inspect. Huh? If they say they are coming on Monday, so I'll be dirty till Saturday and Sunday. Then by Monday morning, I'm going to scramble. Everybody can do that. But if you never know when it's coming, that's a problem. Why? The only cure is to stay clean every moment. Does that get some sense across to us? I mean, the only way, and I couldn't stay clean as a student all the moment, so I move out of my house. I want to scatter my room. I want to come back when I want to. And you're going to have to stay clean. This is where the problem is. One day, but look at next verse. Let's go further. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Let's look at the reason why it's not coming 6 months time, 8 months time, 3 years time, 20 years, 100 years time. The Lord is not slack, and some can't slackness, but it's long suffering. Wow, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's like my teacher in the boarding house, slowing down. If you can see the whole game taking place, you can say, let's slow down. They are not yet, 30% are not yet clean up. So let's just do that. Or 50%, we just can't do that. The Lord can see every life. And number two, the Lord wants everyone to make heaven. Now this is where ministers miss it. The way they project heaven is like only a few people will be there. But God is not a God of few. God is a God of mega. You know, years ago, I was in Jehovah's Witnesses. How many of you went to Ajere Jehovah? When I got to Ajere Jehovah, I was reading their book until one moment, they said, only 144,000 will make heaven. I just knew I was not one of them. I just live. I can't be one. Paul, I will be. Peter, I will be. He make 144,000. Only make heaven. So they portray heaven as a village. Some of these churches, their geo makes it look like, if you leave this church, you are not going to heaven. It's as if they have gotten half cornered around Banana Island. That only their kind of people will enter there. So, how many will be in heaven? Can I surprise you? You know what God is waiting for? Let's go. Revelation chapter 7. Oh, glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. Chapter 7, the book of Revelation. You know, people that were counting all this 144,000, they will count the 144,000, but they stopped there. If you look at chapter 7, it was talking about 144,000. Look at verse 4. And I had the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel, there's nothing like Cameroon there. It's only Israel. But after that, after they finished counting, look at verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues. You know the meaning of tongues? That's the tongue of Ekiti. That's the tongue of Egba. That's the tongue of Ijebu. Of all, nobody can number them. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches, flourishing like a palm tree in their hands. What did they say? Look at next verse. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. Praise God. Clap your hands for Jesus. Heaven is going to be heavily populated. Number that cannot count. We can count how many are on this planet. See, sorry, I'm screaming. You know I'm screaming? I know, a lot of us are going to be there. A lot of us are going to be there. Crying before the throne. Salvation belongs to our God. All this petty look at heaven as if it's just your parlor is really ungodly and uncalled for. God isn't, you know, God was angry at Jonah. Many of you don't understand why God was angry at Jonah and sent the storm. Because Jonah wanted them to perish in Nineveh. Jonah told God, that's why I didn't want to come. I know you will forgive them. I know you will turn around and don't let them just perish. Then God gave me a test. God put up a tree for him to stay under. And by second day, it got, you know, destroyed. And the man got angry that the thing was not covering him. And God said, if you take a liking for a tree that you never planted overnight, how much more I have 120,000 people in Nineveh and their cattle. He mentioned cattle too. So God wants heaven to be filled. That's why he's making all the noise and slowing down. How many of you have entered this kind of bus traveling somewhere before? Like Osundu bus. They will wait. And after it's full, you not get on the road. They have attachment. We're going to Benin and go. You have attachment. Do you have another seat to just put again, to just manage? I had a man who went to heaven. He said something about, was it Roland Bork now? And gets an assignment. He said some people, in fact, they would die. God will let them come back to repent. Not everybody. It happens. Like sometimes they will see up there and come back and repent. You can see them writing books so that they can warn us. Why? Because he wanted people, he wanted a family. Praise the Lord. You cannot go anywhere having five children and you arrive there and you see only three. You start looking for them. I mean, after getting four, the fourth one, making four to five, you don't tell your wife. Since you have gotten four over five, that's 80%. Forget about the other child. All the children must come home. And God is doing everything he can to get us back home. Glory be to his name. Let's go back to chapter 3. Am I making some sense this morning? Praise God. We are looking at the coming of Christ in a new way. Chapter 3, where did we stop? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Okay, good. So it's long-suffering. It's long toward us, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, I was telling them, we were in the prayer team yesterday. You know, my colleagues, when Buhari was there, they prayed for him to die. Some pastors pray for him to die, that he will fall down, die. The man didn't die. He recovered. Ah, Pastor, you don't know what I've done to Nigeria. We know. But God doesn't count Nigeria more. He counts his soul much more. What shall a man gain if he loses his own, get the whole world and lose his own soul? God is not looking at that. What will you do? Come on. What will you do? Look at you. You are the thief. You thief. That's the way they used my area. You thief. They catch you and sentence you to death. And you are going to hang beside the master. And then Jesus was hanging here among criminals. We have first one on the left. We have the one on the right here. Huh? That's straight way to hell. And then this one on the right said, Master, we have been bad. But please remember me in your kingdom. And in his pain, in his struggle, Jesus stopped and said, you be with me in paradise. Now wait, they all died. And that night, they were going to paradise. The left one, they thief together, let me use that word, was going toward hell. And this other one started going with Jesus. And they got to the gate of paradise. What do you think angels will say? What are you doing here? As of last count, we counted you as a thief to this moment. I'll tell you what he will say, because I think I will say that too. I was invited. Who invited you? Jesus. Wole. All of us have been invited by Jesus to his father's house. We are glad we have received the invitation. Our colleagues are not yet, we're going to help them receive the invitation. But nobody can go to heaven on their own invitation. We can't go, but he's inviting us. It doesn't mean that we are all perfect, but because we have had this call, and it's going to keep on perfecting us. Let's go on. So he wants all men to come to repentance. Let's read. So what should we do now? Jesus is not coming, whether 1,000 years or one day, we don't know. So what should we do now? Let's read on. Next verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the water that in it will be burned up. Wow. I mean, this whole thing will be fried up. It'll be microwaved. Can you imagine? All the skyscraper, all the big houses, all the stuff, all the gold, all the silver, all the refineries. Just, phew. Why? We'll find out in a minute. Why will God incinerate everything? Look at next verse. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, wow. What manner of persons ought you to be in what? Holy conduct and godliness. Now, let me put it like this. What will last is not our houses and our lands and our investments. What will last is people. Are you hearing me? Are we listening here? People are more important than things. So, Jesus, through Peter, was telling us this. He's telling us this morning that I want you to focus more on your life being improved upon than just your stuff accumulating them. Use the things, but don't forget that it doesn't last forever. Let me give you a good example. Prophet over there is a VC, and they have school, they have campuses. Please listen to this picture. You know, they will spend money for faculty, they will build classroom. Now, why are they doing all those things for classrooms? Why are they doing all those lecture things, lights and everything? Why? It's not because that stuff. It's to put something in the student's life. Knowledge that you cannot see. Information you cannot grasp with your hand. And it will enter into them and take them outside that campus, forget all the buildings, to use outside. At the end of the graduation, you don't take the lecture room to where you are going. You don't take the houses, you don't take the cars, you don't take the road, and you don't take all the machinery. You take what has been invested in you, that has been, all these things have been used to invest in you. So we must look at our life like this. We cannot renounce this present world. We can't say it is nonsense. No, we must use all that to become a better manner of people. Am I making some sense? Somebody else will go to university. In the midst of all these beautiful things, he will be getting F9. In the midst of all that lecture, he will not attend classes. And when he finishes, they give him a pass. And all his time in that, you know, please let me say this. This life is not useless. Don't ever think this life is useless. They say, Iliaye, Iliason. That's not true. That was before Jesus came, when there was no hope for human race. But when Jesus came, this life matters. Why? Because it will determine how we will live in that other world. So we should concentrate and focus on becoming a better kind of people than just a better stuff. We're going to get stuff. But see, your marriage is not actually aimed toward just making you comfortable. It's to improve you. Are you hearing me? See, many of us don't understand this. When you retire from work, you understand what I'm talking about. You see, work is just more than work. Work is a place of fellowship, companionship, meeting other people, rubbing minds together. Am I right, sir? That when you finish working and you retire, you miss that, don't you? Uncle, you do. You know, you miss that. You your friends, you meet over the years. Hallelujah. So, Bible is saying this. All this will be dissolved. Now, begin to work on your kind of manner of persons. Don't let the troubles of the present turn you to become a beast. That when you enter heaven, the life will leave character on you. What will it make of you? Let me give you an example. Look at Naomi. Look at Ruth. Look at the family, Elimelech and the sons. They all died. But you know, that tragedy made a manner of person out of Ruth. That today we are talking about her. So it's not actually what you are going through in life. It's who you are becoming. Am I making some sense? Am I making some sense this morning? It's not just because I am making money, but I'm becoming wiser. I'm becoming more patient, more enduring. When I lose money, when I feel like a life is over in hopelessness, I can pick up my pieces. That's what makes it really great. That's what we call experience. Am I right? So I want you to see your life like this, everybody seated here, that no matter what you are going through, you are becoming a kind of a person. Are you becoming better or you are becoming bitter? Hallelujah. Today we call Cain evil and we call Abel righteous. You know why? They went through certain experiences and Cain became a worse person. And Abel became a better person. That's why forgiveness is important. You know why forgiveness is important? I'm giving you a new plate to start all together. You know, one time I lost money years ago and an investment. If you have not lost money, lift up your hands. The older you get, the more you have experience over these things. I said, Lord, I just lost money. The Lord said to me, the game is yours now. I said, I don't understand. I lost money. He said, listen to this. When you play football, the moment they score against you, they will stop the game for you. And they will hand you over the ball to you. They won't give you the opponent who just beat you. They give you the ball. The Lord said, anytime you lose, see yourself that the game is just changed for you. And believe that you are not finished. And you become a better person. Praise God, somebody. I want you to this is what kept the early church alive. They believe that no matter what happens to them, their trials are working glory in their life. Second chapter of Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4, rather. Take a look. All right. Let's look at verse. My time is. Chapter 4, verse 16. All right. Praise God. This is beautiful for all of us who are seated here today that are getting older. Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man that will last forever, that's been redeemed by Jesus, is what? It's being renewed day by day. That's why we call this service renewal, refresh and renewal. See, the outside world, economy, life, family, orientation, stuff. But our inward man is becoming a better person every day. Look at next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. What? Can you see that? Can you see that? As Christians, we must look beyond the surface. Even our major trials, our struggles, our disappointments, they are working together. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense this morning? That's the coming of the Lord. Let's round up. Our time is up. Let's round up. Let's go back to that place and then we, verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, hallelujah, what manner of persons ought you to be in what? Holy conduct and godliness. Can we take these two words and work on them? Holy conduct and godliness. See, that word holy has been messed up in recent time. It's been reduced to mascara and air do. No, that word holy means that you are separating. You are set apart. Knowing fully well that a day is coming and you meet your master, you whatever you do, you set yourself apart. The rest of the world may not be expecting him, but you are expecting him. So, number two, godliness means that you are working on yourself to be like the person you are going to meet. Godliness, Christ-likeness. So, I'm setting myself apart every day in whatever I'm doing. My marriage is set apart. My finance is set apart. My parenting is set apart. I can't do like everybody else is doing. But second, I keep working on myself to become like the God I'm going to meet. Praise God, somebody. Now, let me shock you. That is simply walking in love, because God is love. So when we say godliness, it means loveliness, because God is love. So the more I practice love, the more I can actually meet him face to face, because I'm becoming more like him. John said, when we are perfected in love, we are becoming like him. Just as he is, so where are we in this world? Am I making some sense this morning? So this holy conduct and godliness, let's run, our time is up. Look at next verse quickly. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements. This verse is a little bit confusing. Can we read it in NLT? NLT, quickly. Give us in NLT. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Interesting. Take a look at that. Remember that it's not willing for all to perish. Am I right? Am I right? So, if we do better, we can hasten it. Okay, let's put it like this. The inspector wants to come to the class to see that every class is clean. The more are clean, the better the inspector, who doesn't want to punish anybody, will be happier. You understand? So, the more we're doing this, living like this, and if we can just get that going, God's going to hurry up. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. I have to pause here. I have a problem. I'm have heard that song before. Oh, Dara. You mean God's going to burn everything up? Let me give you an example. Our 28th wedding anniversary, my wife and I, we said, let's go to Dubai. You know. Turn 20 wedding. So we packed our load. I packed everything packable, going to Dubai. And then we got to the airport. I dressed up like a Nigerian, going for. But when I got to the airport, about to enter plane, I saw people in shorts with sandal. I said, well, I be seriously. I saw them with one small bag. My bag was full. So we got to Dubai, and I started saying a few things to buy. Man. And I look at my bag, Kidmoku, you know. You know, I look at myself, whoa. I said, I wonder why they just didn't wear, they didn't carry any load, because they're going to get load there. Wow. I threw away things. I had to do some loading across, you know, buy some things to help me ship down. Next time, I'm not carrying any load. Now, we now understand this. We brought nothing to this world. I will take nothing out. You know why? When you are coming here, you brought nothing because everything is here. And when you are going to, don't take anything. Like going to Dubai, everything is up there much more than ever before. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Much more is over there. So what I'm saying, essence, is this. Why should God burn up this place like my load? there's a better heaven and earth coming. This is the promise of his coming. Let's go back to that place and read it, and then we shut down. Where is the verse now? Verse 13, yeah, 5 and 8. Verse 13 now. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we are looking for what? New heaven and a new earth, in which, right now, see that word dwells. Righteousness is not at home in our world. You have to be careful. You have to walk with God. The evil around us is so much, but be encouraged. A day is coming that God will remove everything evil. This old planet, this old heavens, wipe everything out and bring out the one that's been in store all along, the new heavens and the new earth. And as I round up, I just feel like reading about that a little bit. 21 Revelation, let's read. I just close with that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Glory to Jesus. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there are no more Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. What will be there at that time? I don't know. I'm just waiting. Would that be a computer? I don't know. I'm just waiting. Would that be tablets? I don't know. I'm just waiting. Would that be food? I don't know. No, Jesus ate after he rose from the dead. I don't know. I know one thing. There'll be no marriage. But I will still like my wife when we get to I will still see her. You see, so I do. Oh, we are on the earth. Our office was marriage. We have changed the office now. He said, it's going to be beautiful. Going to be wonderful. Let's keep reading quickly. Hallelujah. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Let's go on. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. These shall be his people. Can you imagine God come and live with us? No more tyrant presidents. God himself will be with them and be their God. Next verse, quickly. And he said this very loud. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Woo! Glory. That's what we are looking forward to. Woo! What a nice way to close this service. There'll be no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. We are not thinking that we are going to just die and float somewhere. We're going to be part of that new heaven and new earth. What a story. Verse 5 says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. To him who thirsts, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. I wish I can go to the next verse, but our time is gone. We're talking about people that cannot enter that place because of their character and their behaviors. He said, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. Brimstone, which is the second death. That's going to be an incinerator where God will put all the mess. He can pack them out of this universe and put them in a mess somewhere. But praise God, we are his people. Can we lift our hands and thank him for calling us? Let's appreciate God that this is not the end of everything. Let's thank God that as we get older, there's a promise ahead of our lives that this world will give way. Yeah, we know that we are facing things, sorrow, crying, tears right now, but we know that we are not left alone. And at this moment, I would like you to take your time to just look at your life and say, Father, I want to walk carefully. I want to walk with you. I want to be mindful of the day coming. Bible says, he that has this hope purifies himself. I want you to welcome this hope that righteousness will dwell in this new heaven and new earth. And what kind of manner of person are you becoming? Don't let this present situation and circumstances make you into a person that will not be qualified. Take this moment to build into you godly character that will be valuable over there. Love, patience, kindness, purity, joy, compassion. Yeah, we'll have bruises a little bit over here, some struggles, the scars of life may be on us, but the star, the brighter morning star is shining in our heart. And we turn over our life to Him. That day by day, we will walk with the Master. We'll be aware that we are not alone. Let your living water flow, my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Can we lift our hands to Jesus? Jesus. 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 Let your living water one more time.
Let your living water flow.
Renew and refresh me. Let your Holy Spirit change me and make me better in every way. Lord, you know my life. I yield myself afresh to you. Yes, Lord, that day by day, whatever is troubling me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All my cares and my body, unto you alone. Father, Father, Father. Come on. Father. It's hearing our voices this morning. Father, Father, Father. Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, my Savior, I call upon your name this morning, looking up to you. The Spirit within me, comforting and leading and guiding me, Spirit. Our guide, our comforter, taking us through life. Spirit. One more time, Spirit. Spirit, 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 Spirit. I would like you to take the hand of the person next to you and say, Father, help him, help her to live. Fully transformed by you. That this, my brother, my sister, my uncle, my auntie, will experience the grace of the Lord Jesus, will experience the love of God every day, and will experience the fellowship, the guiding, helping, comforting Spirit every day. That in the midst of challenges of life, the inward person will be renewed. Pray that the Lord will help him or her to keep looking forward, not to look down in the midst of this dying old world. Let's just trust God for ourselves that we will live a life is marked by His presence, a life of love and faith, an endurance in the midst of this, that we have a hope that is not just confined to this life alone, that we are his people. Oh, thank you, Lord. We are grateful this morning that we are reminded by Apostle Peter, our mind, pure mind, stirred up this morning, that we are not just ordinary people, that we have this extraordinary God. No matter what our troubles and pains are, we choose that we are your people, and we are getting transformed even through our troubles. Thank you. We receive a further challenge to live for you and to wait for his coming, to wait for your coming in any shape. Whether you come in one day or 1,000 years, we'll be looking forward to see you face to face. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Please, you can have your seat. God bless you. Thank you so much. Choir, and then let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Dear Father, thank you for our offering and tithe. Bless your name, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.